God is good. Amen? All right, come on. Come on. God is very good. Amen?
Amen.
All right, but how good is our God? Let me tell you right now that God is awesome for many reasons, but I want to start with one. He created women. Amen? Amen? All right. But let me start off with this, because this is how God started too. God created man first. So we know right now that God has his priorities. I mean, but no. See, God, I bet you anything, God created man and he was like, oh man, oh boy, this dude that I just created is not working too well for me. So, you know, let's start up a second draft. And look what he came up with was women, right? So women was God's best gift to man, amen? All right. Now, and men were just kind of like their ball and chain that they take with us everywhere. But second, God made me. Now, see, God made everything awesome, so that has to put me awesome too, right? And see, I don't have to say that, because the students that are out there, you say it for me by putting me up here. By putting me up here, because you guys are the ones that wanted to hear me. You guys wanted to hear what I've been through, and that makes me feel good. That makes me feel like, okay, I'm right. I'm the one that has done it. But really, when we get through all of this, I have realized that I am not right all the time. I have realized that I am wrong. And when I am wrong, that means someone else has to be right. And when someone else is right, that means I have to listen to them. But last time I checked, I don't listen to anyone but myself. I don't listen to anyone else. I don't report to you. But yet, I still have to, because I'm not right. Now, this brings me to one of my favorite terms that if you've known me long enough, you've heard definitely out of my mouth. And that is, I am fine. I am fine. Don't mess with me. Don't help me unless I ask you. You know, sometimes in our lives, we all end up doing something that we never really saw ourselves doing. Whether it comes from small things that feel like to us or to huge things, whether it comes from denying God, whether it comes from saying bad words, talking back to your parents, whether this comes from drinking, doing drugs, pornography, sex, you name it. One of us out there has not seen ourselves doing that, but yet we end up doing it. We put ourselves in that situation. But yet we get so wrapped up in the worldly things that we want to make who we are, who, when someone wants to talk to us about us, we'll mention those things before anything. And yet we leave out the biggest things that are our personal problems that we're working on, that we're dealing with. We say, I'm fine. I can handle it. How often do we find ourselves in situations like this? Situations where we feel useless. Situations where we feel like we have no control. Do you want to know what we do? What some of us do? We take something that is meaningless, something that is pointless, that has no place in our lives, and we put it there. Something that we have complete control over. Something that we can hang on to. So we can forget. We can control this. Whether this thing may treat us terrible, whether we treat it terrible, we still put it there so we can have a sense of control. So we can forget and cover up. You ever feel that way? I have. You know, when I got elected to Week of Prayer, I knew this was one thing I did not want to talk about, but yet this is a thing I had to talk about. I almost lost my dad once, for good. This was not supposed to happen to me, because my dad's Superman. My dad is the best, and my dad is the fastest. I love to hear stories growing up about my dad going out and racing, because my dad would win. My dad was pro. My dad was on TV, guys. I mean, that says it all right there. I mean, I remember one night waiting for my dad to get home, and we'd be laying in bed, and he'd still smell of exhaust from the track, and he'd just tell us how it went. Then, my dad would ride with his friends on the tracks that they built off in the woods, and I'd just sit there at the side of the track and just watch him go around. Watch him go around because he was faster than his friends, and then I'd wait for my turn. I'd wait for my turn to be able to ride on his handlebars, just go and do the big boy jumps, and ride on the big boy bike, be on the big boy track. But that wasn't enough for me. I wanted to be able to be on my own big boy bike, doing my own big boy jumps next to my dad. And yet, still, that wasn't enough for me. Even though my dad was pro, I was going to beat my dad. I was going to straight up throw down, beat my dad in a race. Time got a hold of the situation. Put me about 2 years ago. School had just got out, riding out at the track on Thursday night group therapy. We were out there on the back stretch. I was on my 250. My dad was on his 450. Long stretch with a nice hairpin right at the end. Came fifth gear wide into that corner. Knew my dad was hot on my tail. So I just tried to carry my speed, railed the berm, left the inside wide open for him. And so he brake checked past me. But as I remember my dad telling me off in the pits that even though that first pass is made, there's always going to be another opportunity. So I swung wide with the next corner, watched him go inside out, and I blocked past him. He might not remember this, but I remember it clear as day. Man, I passed my dad, and I beat him straight up. Although we came into that next corner, and he got me back with authority, let me tell you. So I pulled right off the track. I was done. But yet, I beat my dad. I beat him fair and square, and yet his time was coming where I was going to pass him, and I was gone. But not yet. Me and my little brother were so excited about this. Not me beating him, I was, but about the summer starting, the season was starting. There's a Friday night organized practice under the lights. My dad doesn't ride these because the vision is a little harder, but we convinced him to come out and ride. We wanted to see him ride. I wanted to see my dad beat everyone else to show that my dad was still Superman. He sure was. He's flying. He's going so fast. And then I remember we'd swap, and I'd come by him. I didn't care what was going on. The throttle would be locked. My feet would be off the pegs, but I'd be flying as fast as I could right by my dad. And then later on that night, I found myself sitting at his bedside. But yet, this wasn't my dad's bed. It wasn't a bed that my dad was not supposed to be in. I found myself sitting at the side of my dad's hospital bed, waiting for the doctor to come in to give me some good news. And when that doctor came in, there was just a little bit of hope that my dad was going to be fine. And every time that doctor came in, worse. Something new that was killing my father. But my dad does not get hurt. My dad gets back up. You know, my dad would come home, no matter what. If he was hurting, his arm would almost be hanging out, falling off, whatever, he'd be fine. But this time, it didn't work that way. Next thing I heard from my dad was two things that night. Two things that I never wanted to hear. I don't know which one hurt worse. I heard my dad say that he was never going to be able to ride again. I don't care about school. I don't care about work. All I care about is being out at the track with my dad, being able to ride with my dad. Next thing I heard my dad say was that he didn't think he was going to be able to make it. Superman doesn't die, guys. Not in my world. Stayed up all night at his bedside. Next morning, my mom told me I needed to go home. Felt like slapping her. Didn't want to leave. But I knew my little brother was there, and I had to be there for him. I knew that I needed to make my little brother know that I was okay, trying to give some stability to the situation. You know, I found a really good cover for this. Something that would be able to keep my mind off of it. But yet, this wasn't something that you'd see the average teenager doing in a situation like this. This isn't something that you would think a 16-year-old would do to cover up. I would get as much work as I possibly could, and I would work as long and as hard as I could to be able to keep my mind off of it. There was 2 weeks, 14 days that summer I worked straight. The days would start 8 hours, be the shortest, longest would be 18. There was back-to-back 18-hour days, whatever. I didn't care. I would get there early, leave late, skip lunch, do whatever I could. The time my little brother left for Myvidin was about the best timing possible, because this was the time that my dad's stomach started filling up with fluid, and they needed to get surgery, but my dad was too weak. They wouldn't be able to do it. So they had to stick a tube up his nose and down his throat to be able to drain it out. My dad wasn't able to move, hardly was able to talk. My mom was living in the chair next to him that was hardly any padding on it. My little brother was gone. I was by myself. I had to make my parents know that I was fine, that I could handle it. I ended up staying at one of my close friends' house. I thought it was going to be great. It's going to be a party, you know? Back hanging out with my friends. I mean, they got a great family. They eat dinner at the dinner table, breakfast at the table. We stay up playing games, but really, I was just hanging on. Because while this was going on, I would picture my family doing that. That was my family that I was hanging out with, but yet my family was all spread out. My dad was almost gone. So I just get up and go to the track. I picked the best job, guys. I would work garbage. And I don't know about you, but garbage on a motocross track is like garbage on crack. There's so much garbage, and you'd work 8 hours just trying to catch up. Then once you caught up, you'd wait to do it again. And the best part about it was no one would want to play with that little boy off in the corner playing with garbage. No one would want to talk to him. No one would go up, hey, how you doing? That was the best part about it. Because I wouldn't have to lie to them. I was fine, guys. I could handle it. Fortunately, all of this, through all this, my dad made it. He's standing right there. Dad, stand up. Stand up, Dad. Come on, show him you're strong. He's got a nice railroad tracks going down his stomach from the whole event. And if he ever throws his leg over a dirt bike again, I will beat him. All right? But if we take a big look at our lives, things that make up our lives, why we act the way we do, the friends we choose, the words that we use, the things we do we often take these things and use them to try to make up who we are? Are we so self-centered that we don't let anyone in? We don't let anyone in on the things that we need to change? Are we really fine? Can we not be met at the situation that we're in? Can we not be met at the situations that we've put ourselves in, the situations that we find ourselves in? The situations where we feel beat down and left for dead. The situations where we feel shipwrecked and stuck out in the middle of the ocean with no one to come help us. Because I know we can be helped. Actually, I know for a fact we can. You want to know why? Because I know of one man who walked with the average man, who talked with the Samaritan woman. I know of a man who walked with the rich, the poor, the pastors, the preachers, the prophets. This man walked with the tax collectors, the hypocrites. He sobered the drunk, fed the hungry. He saw for the blind, heard for the deaf, spoke for the dumb. This man walked for the ones who could not walk, talked for the ones who could not talk. He helped the ones who could not help themselves. I know of a man who walked with the angels, talked with the demons, went toe-to-toe with Satan and beat him. I know of a man who rose from the dead. He rose the dead. I know of a man who did not sin but died for all sin. I know of a man who saves lives. I know of a man who is life. I know of a man who fixes life, and I know of a man who fixed me. I am not fine. I am broken. Lord, let this be my prayer to you. I have not taken up my cross. Rather, I leave it in the dust for you to kneel down and pick it up yourself. I have not opened my hands to do your work, and I have not opened my heart to show your care. I have not stood for you. Rather, I stand against you. For the love you show me is infallible compared to the hatred that I show myself. I deny you so I can have fun, so I can live. When I need to accept you so I can die. You alone are the one who sets me free. You alone are the one who lifts me up when I can't lift myself. You alone that when I lose my way, you pave a new path under my feet, showing me the way. You created me, you formed me, and you fixed me. Lord, I am nothing. How can I ever find the answers? I will cover my mouth with my hand, for I have said too much already, and I have nothing more to say. And when I said this, you replied, you said, you do not need answers. You do not need to cover your mouth with your hand. You have not said enough, for my power works best in your weakness. For my grace is all you need. Who will I send, you said. He said, who will be my messenger? And when I heard you say this, I fell to my knees crying, Father, I will go. Father, send me, I am yours. Take these hands, for they are yours. Take this heart, because you alone are the one who possess it. Take this body, because this is where you live. I am yours, Father, send me. For you, you made me, for through my weakness you are made strong. Take these hands, use them. Take my life, let it be a lesson. For if I try to hang on to my life, I will lose it. But for now, since I have given it to you, you have saved it. Father, I am yours, send me. For you created me, for through my weakness you are made strong. Father, I am yours, send me.